Blog Talk Radio.
For life. It's a beautiful day, and I'm so happy that you've taken time out of your day to spend it with me and my special guest. It's Friday, and we normally don't do shows on Friday, but today is a special show, and so you're going to see why momentarily. My special guest is someone that I've had on Jawanza for Life several times, and it's always a pleasure every time I have an opportunity to speak with this brother. You're going to learn a lot today, and I just want everybody to get ready, because the information that's going to be shared, if you allow it, can be life-changing. I love to do shows that are life-changing, and this is another one in a long line of life-changing shows. Again, let me get to my special guest, because once you hear who it is, if you don't know already, you're in for a treat. My special guest today is a comedic priest. He's a chief priest with the Osereset Society. He's a counselor, he's a lecturer, he's a teacher, and he holds the title of leader amongst the men, and his name is Shechem Hekshem Suharu Mayab Neter. And today we're going to be talking about understanding and preparing for the fall equinox. Again, my special guest has been on Jawanza for Life many times, and each time he gets a lot of compliments on the show. Every time we do the show, people love the information that he brings and the way that he brings it. And I just want you to sit back and get ready to soak up some information that you'll be able to use. We're going to also be talking about a workshop that's going to be held tomorrow at the Osereset Society in Washington, D.C. It's the Fall Detoxification and Autumn Equinox Workshop. It's free, so you will definitely want to make it out for that. And that's Saturday, September the 12th. That's going to be from 4 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. And we're going to tell you all about that and, you know, the information, phone number, address, all of that, so that you can make preparations to be there. So now, let me get to my special guest for the hour. Hekshem Suharu Shechem Mayab Neter, welcome back to Jawanza for Life, sir. It's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for being my guest today.
What's up, Brother Jawanza, and thank you for having me back on the show. But before you go any further, I'd just like to make a correction and introduction, which I appreciate. But I'm not a chief priest within Osereset Society. I'm a chief and a priest, but I'm not a chief priest.
Okay, okay.
There's a distinction.
Okay, thank you so much for correcting me, sir. I am very pleased to be able to, you know, bring you back on and to share this vital, vital information. I think that a lot of times when people think about just going from the seasons, from one season to the next, if you're not aware of energies, if you're not familiar with equinoxes and solstices, then you just kind of flow, go with the flow. You just flow from, you know, from summer into the fall into the winter into the spring, and so forth and so on. But with that transition from season to season, there are different energies that are prevalent during those times. And tonight, again, we're going to be discussing the fall equinox, what it is, how to prepare for it, and understanding it. So with that being said, could you please give us a breakdown for those? I don't want to assume that everybody knows what an equinox is, or specifically what the fall equinox is. For the sake of this discussion tonight, for those that do not know, what is the fall equinox?
Well, the term equinox itself is referring to equal period in terms of night and day. And when we look at it in the context of the four seasons, the winter, spring, summer, and fall, the spring and the fall seasons represent, or the onset of spring and the onset of fall represent the time basically for the spring at March 21st and for the fall generically at September 21st, where you have an equal period in terms of daylight and darkness. And that represents a shift in terms of the energy. And when we talk about the seasons are really predicated upon the quality of energy that you have for a three-month stretch, and it changes every quarter. And a major part of that is relative to the temperature that you have in the environment. So as we move from the summertime, which we're in right now, we're going into the fall. And the summertime, and really the term itself, summer, is referencing that that represents the period of the height of the expression of the hot energy. And the summer is really making reference to the summit. Mm-hmm. And because we're talking about one energy flowing in a cycle, and talking about the seasons, we're talking about four modalities or four aspects of this cycle. So once the energy is increasing in heat and reaches its highest point or reaches its summit, because it goes in a cycle, then it has no option but to fall. So we're going from the summer time of the year when it's the hottest to the period of the fall where now we're starting to have a greater generation of cold energy. So we're going from a more externalizing period in terms of environmental and even psychical influences to a more internalizing environment and influence. And that's not only externally but also biologically. So that's what's happening when we talk about the change in seasons and the equinox.
Well, if you could, if you mentioned the equinox, and people who may have been on the spiritual path for a while have heard the term solstice as well, could you share what the differences are between the equinoxes and the solstices as they, you know, relate to this discussion?
Okay. So going back to really grasp that principle in terms of the solstices and equinoxes, we have to start with the basic reality that there is one energy that's the determinant as to everything that's taking place within our environment and on Earth, and that one energy, as I referenced, is expressing in four modalities. And the two primary aspects of that represents the degree of temperature that you have and also the degree of humidity that you have. Because we live on Earth, and in order to exist on Earth, you have to have heat. You have to have heat and light in terms of stimulating activity that allows for growth, but you also have to have a certain degree of humidity or moisture or wetness. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a nurturing factor. So if that one energy goes through those four different modes, if you look at the period of the fall where I'm saying we're at now, and we reference mm-hmm. the equinox, so because we're coming from that transition from the predominance of heat coming into a point where we're making that change from hot to cold, but not yet in a full predominance of cold energy, then when you get to the point of the equinox, you're about to make a shift. And you're at the point where you're coming into a state of balance. You have the same degree of hot influence with the mm-hmm. same degree of cold influence. So like I said, you got daylight and night basically being equal. But as you go from that period where with the daylight or the hot influence and heat is the energy that's going to take moisture out of a system. So when we look at the highest time of the heat generation, which is the summer, then that's also going to be the driest time of the year because the heat is taking that moisture out of the system. So the summertime represents a hot and dry period. And as we move from the hot and dry period, since nature is always working to maintain a balance and energy is flowing in a cyclic fashion, as you move from the hot and dry period, the heat has reached its highest point. It has no option but to fall. So then now when we make that crossover at that equinox point, we come into the point where we're starting to generate more coolness. Mm-hmm. And then that coolness is not yet enough that it's going to allow for moisture to come back into the system. So the fall represents that three-month period where you have a cold and dry time of the year. You go from the cold and dry time of the year with the fall, and then you have the energy going to its lowest point, it's dropping, and it goes into a period of interment, like if someone has died and you bury them, meaning the energy that seems like it's expressing outward movement is going underground, so it's interred, and that's where you get the basis of winter. So you go from that cold and dry time of the year in the fall to the period of the winter. and because it's getting so cold now, that allows for the moisture to come back into the system. So the winter represents that cold and moist time of the year. And as you go through the winter with that cold and moist energy, and that winter representing the lowest period of the generation of cold or the least hot period, then because, again, energy is moving in a cyclic fashion, if it's going underground like it's buried, it's interned, and it's going through a cycle, and it's going to have to rise again or it's going to have to spring forth. So we go from the period of the winter coming back to a springing forth of that externalizing, life-giving property, that heat being generated again. So we go from the cold and moist period of winter to a hot and moist period of spring because now the energy starts to spring forth. And just as the outward expression that you have during the summertime where everything is in its full bloom and its full blossom and energy is at its maximum degree of externalization, when you go into the wintertime, then anything that energy of externalization is at its lowest point. So everything basically seems to be at a standstill or being dead. So that's when you have, again, that winter, that period of interment. So because it's a cycle, the energy has to spring back forth again. You're generating that heat along with the moisture that's supporting what's needed for growth, and then you come into the spring at March the 21st, and that moves you back around coming to the proliferation of what's taking place during the spring to its highest point in the summer. So when we talk about the solstice and the equinox, as I referenced, the equinox period being at the time of the spring where you're moving out of the darkness of the winter, out of the stagnation of the winter, out of the lack of growth into winter to a period of birth and regeneration and externalization. So that's that point of transition, too, at March the 21st, where you got equal day and equal night, but you're moving into the hot generating phase. Now, you have to have the extremes within the cycle, and the extremes are reflected in the period of the solstice, and that would be for the summer solstice, June the 21st through the 24th, and for the winter solstice, December the 21st through the 24th. And the term itself, solstice, is representing or making reference to sol as in the sun and stis as in being still. So you have the winter solstice and you have the summer solstice. And the solstice relationship is really the relationship between the earth to the sun as the earth is rotating and tilting as it moves around the sun. So at the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere, this is the time of the year where the energies that are most impactful in terms of stimulating and activating and externalizing are at its weakest point in the atmosphere and in the environment. So this is a time where everything seems to stand still, but it stands still in the context that because there's a lack of heat and it's at its lowest point, then if you're totally internalized, it's basically you're asleep. And when you're asleep, that's your most receptive period. So the winter solstice represents the time of the year when one is most receptive to being pressed or impregnated with the seeds of change, with the thoughts, with the visions, with the intentions of what it is that they will to bring forth through the next cycle of generation and growth. So the solstice is represented seemingly for those 4 days as a standing still of the earth in relationship to the sun. It seems like the sun is standing still. And when we talked about the energy needed for life itself to be present on Earth, it talks about the temperature, then that heat from the sun is what's really stimulating and externalizing activity. And you have the moon, as we know, having a major influence in terms of the ocean and the water. That's helping to provide that moisture. So during the winter solstice, this is the optimal time to generate the energy, to nurture, to impress, to impregnate. You sow that seed during the winter solstice. You nurture it as you come through the winter. It starts to spring forth and starts to show external expressions at the spring equinox. And then as you go through the spring, it starts to reach its height in terms of expression. And now you're at the summer solstice. So, again, at this point, it's the opposite effect from the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere, June the 21st through the 24th. This is the time when the energy and the light is most intense and impactive upon your spirit. So this is the optimal time to really get insight as to how you have functioned for the last 6 months. You're taking note of what it is you said you would do and the change you said you would make, how have you lived at this time, so you can really get a good view as to how you've been functioning. So you're making note as you take insight, as you gain insight as to how it is that you've lived, and you're working to make sure that you sustain that correct energy as you move through the summer, or if you faltered in some ways, you really got to put forth your will to make sure that you stay on point as you go through the summer. But once you've gone through the summer, you've lost the heat that's needed to stimulate or activate any new growth. So mm-hmm. the fall represents the time of the year where now you're going to take stock mm-hmm. for these last 9 months and look to see what it is you need to really prepare to do as you come to the winter solstice.
Okay, you answered the question I was about to ask, which was actually if there was an ideal time, if there was, you know, for somebody to, and keeping in mind that, you know, the energies, you know, are governed by a cyclical nature, and so it's going around, but if there was an actual ideal time for somebody to really embark consciously on their spiritual work, it sounds like winter would be the time when you're planting the seeds that are, you're going to be preparing to harvest in the following year, and that this particular time, the fall, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're actually taking stock of where you are, what you need to work on, or actually, and correct me please if I'm wrong, what you need, what seeds you need to plant in the upcoming winter solstice, correct?
Correct. Relative to what you just said, the winter is the best time to sow the seed, but it's really specifically the winter solstice itself. And that's important for people to understand. It's not just any time around then. It's specifically during the winter solstice, because that is the time. If something is standing still, if you're trying to get someone's attention, their full attention, where you're really working to impress them with what it is that you have to say or what it is you want them to see, you want them to be as still and as attentive as possible. And that's the natural energy that's occurring within our spirit and in the environment during the winter solstice. So that is the most receptive time of year. That's the time when you can get psychically impregnated. And as you come now to the fall, as I referenced, all the energy that's needed for growth is basically on the wane and on the way out. So if you were farming and you looked at how what it is that you sowed, you know, through the winter or at the beginning, right before the beginning of spring, what grew and what didn't grow, now you would be looking at, so what methodologies did I use? How did I, you know, care for things? What did I pay attention to? Why is it that this grew and this did not grow? So that's where you're taking stock, and you say, okay, so no, I have to do some more planning this next year, so I'm going to do this differently. And mm-hmm. I can see from how that occurred or the effect or the manifestation that this was my error. Or if I didn't nurture that enough, then I make sure I need to be on it, or I didn't really give that the full attention, or I thought it was there, but it really wasn't there, so I'm going to have to sow that seed again and really work to nurture so I can have a proper harvest.
Okay. Well, could you please give us the exact dates of the fall equinox, just the exact, that window of time that this energy is going to be at its highest, because I'm sure that there are people that are, you know, in addition to that, what actual spiritual work, in addition to, you know, just, I guess, taking stock, are there any particular meditations that should be done at this particular time, any certain exercises to help with the process of the taking stock and preparing to plant the, you know, preparing for the winter solstice through the fall equinox to just prepare for the work that needs to be done spiritually?
Yeah, well, again, the fall equinox generically is going to be September 21st. Sometimes it may be a difference of a day or so, maybe the 22nd, 23rd. But you'd have to kind of look to see in some astronomical literature as to what the exact period is for that particular year you're looking at. But the focus that you're going to do during the fall equinox, again, is to take stock. And specifically, you have to look at, within our tradition, we know that there's 11 laws, and we would weigh how it is that we've lived in terms of our thoughts, our words, and our actions against the 11 laws, meaning have, you know, my thoughts, my word, or my actions violated any or combination of these laws. So I would literally get a spiritual diary, and I would write down the behaviors or the images or the thoughts that I've indulged in, the actions I've indulged in this past year that I know have been incorrect. And that's even if you don't have any awareness of the 11 laws, but just if I've been, my temper was a problem, so I was angry a lot, or I was too indulgent in terms of sensual satisfaction, or I wasn't as responsible as I should have been, or I gossiped too much, or I didn't take initiative to stay on top of my diet or my exercise program, whatever it may be. I wasn't as responsible in terms of caring for my children, whatever it may be, at my job. So you're going to take stock of that. You're literally going to write it down, because it's important to write things down because, one, we tend to forget, and, two, you want to have a written record that you can refer back to use this as your basis, that when you get to the point of doing meditations, you have specific experiences and scenarios that you're going to be able to write a meditation script around. Take that incorrect behavior in the meditation, visualize yourself doing correctly, functioning correctly in meditation, and then checking to see how you're progressing as you go through the year with that. So it's not like there's a specific set of meditations per se at mm-hmm. the fall equinox itself. It's really a time of reflection. So you would want to quiet yourself and just reflect as to how is it that I've really been living these last 9 months? How is it that I've accomplished what I said I was going to do, the things I need to change that really take that on and stick with it? But major meditations aren't going to come at the winter solstice.
Well, if you could talk about the role, I know that tomorrow at the workshop, part of it is going to be talking about detoxification and even the role that detoxifying the body and the correlation between that and the autumn equinox. I don't want to assume that, you know, there's a direct correlation and why, you know, the detoxification is a piece of the workshop tomorrow, or is detoxification just prevalent even as you go from equinox to solstice to equinox to solstice? I mean, at the change of every season, is that a requirement? Not the word requirement is not a good word, but is it recommended during the change of each season and not primarily the fall equinox?
It is definitely recommended with the change of each season. And the reason being, every season represents, again, not just a three-month period, because each season is a three-month period. Every season represents a different quality of energy, and that quality of energy is what allows you to have a certain set of experiences, meaning that the fall represents the cold and dry time of the year. So the nature of the cold energy, when something is cold, it tends to slow down. It tends to become more internalized. And if it's dry, that means that it's not as, when something is dry, it tends to be a little more fixed. It tends to be a little more rigid. If you're trying to unscrew something, it's very dry. You're going to put some type of oil on it to lubricate it. If you're trying to move something through some opening and it's dry, you're going to, again, lubricate it. So when something is dry, it becomes inflexible, it becomes fixed, it becomes rigid. But what that does in terms of the mental energy and the psychical energy of cold and dry in combination, then if something is slow and something is basically fixed, then that allows you a moment where you're really able to deeply concentrate on something, really focus on something. So the cold and dry time of year represents a time of the year where you can really get into details. And getting mm-hmm. into details is a time of the year where you can get into planning. And planning is a time of the year when you can now start to set up how you're going to go about doing things as you come around in the cycle. Now, biologically, what's taking place, we're going from the period of the highest time of heat, the driest time during the year, the hot and dry time. Mm-hmm. So there hasn't been a lot of moisture present. There's been a lot of externalizing activity. There's been a lot of metabolism in terms of physiological activity and chemical activity where things have been broken down. So the catabolism or the breakdown aspect of your chemical process is at its highest during the summertime. So at the fall, since we're moving from the hot time to the cold time, this is the time of the year where, since things are going to slow down, you want to make sure that you're going to help support the system to be more internal but not retain any waste from the previous period, or set yourself up to be retaining waste as you come into the cold time of the year, because you know, generically you're going to have people complain more, experience more flu and cold conditions and cold retention and flare-ups of maybe it's arthritis when you have a cold period. So the practice that we go through in terms of nutrition and a diet as we come through the fall period and with the fall detoxification is to support the body's moving into that more internalized and reflective time of year by undertaking certain dietary practices and supplements and nutrients that's going to help to detoxify the system so we're not, again, bringing toxins in and being more stronger so we can benefit from that cold and dry energy and not become locked in by retaining toxins. Because if something is cold and dry, it becomes fixed, so you don't want to allow toxins within your system to stay fixed. That's the lens toward problems during the winter. With every change of season, like I said, it represents a certain quality of energy. So you want to match up your diet, you want to match up your practices and your thoughts to undertake those activities that during that period of the year that the energy at that time supports. So if we're coming to a more reflective time of the year, time to plan, time to look at how you're going to organize your time and what you're going to do, then that's what we need to do. That's why people, that's one of the benefits of going back to school and getting more cerebral, because that's the quote-unquote left side of the brain energy, that cold and dry energy that allows you to take things in a literal fashion and be more methodical and logical about your view of things. That's what's happening during the cold and dry, during the fall, and that's coming through the left side of the brain. So any time of the year that you find yourself in as a certain quality of energy, support certain activities, so you want to harmonize your activities with the quality of energy that's present so that you have a greater resource to pull from not just your personal energies and living out of the cycle and straining and stressing, but tapping into the environmental energies and the natural biological and psychical energies to help you be more successful.
Everybody, my special guest today is Hekshemsu Heru Shekeme of Neter, and we're talking about the fall equinox and the, there's going to be a workshop tomorrow. We're going to get into that at the Aseraset Society in Washington, D.C., and it's free. You definitely want to make it there to learn more about what you're hearing today. Brother, you mentioned earlier, briefly, you talked about the 11 laws and planting the 11 laws in our spirit and basically reviewing, looking back at during the fall equinox to determine how we did with that. You know, how did we do? Were we successful in, living those laws? But I don't want to assume that everybody that's listening knows when we say the 11 laws what we're talking about, because we're constantly getting new listeners. So if you would, for those that don't know what the 11 laws are, could you give a brief description of what the 11 laws are so that when we reference those laws, they know what we're talking about?
Well, the reality of the 11 laws comes out of the context of the Osirian tradition or the Osirian way of life, which is an aspect of what people refer to as the ancient Egyptian or the Kemetic spiritual science of the Kemetic way of living, ancient Kemet. And within that context, within the principles of the ancient folks out of Kemet, brothers and sisters from Kemet, we refer to that reality of the presence of God in the world, or that which is the reflection of the image and likeness of God within us, as being Osir. And Osir is who we are by nature. So our role and responsibility and goal in life is to live in harmony with Osir, to awaken that God within. And to ensure that reality and to cultivate that reality, we have to make sure that we're implanting into our mind the right ideas about who we are and how it is that we need to live. So within the Osirian tradition, there's 11 basic principles that govern life and govern the way in which man should live. And those 11 principles are based upon 11 aspects of our being. And it's basically a reflection of different personalities or different skills, different forces that the Supreme Being has brought forth into the world and that we all embody. So when we talk about the 11 laws, we're going from the law of peace, that we're peaceful by nature, and that we're able to be stable in any and all conditions. That does not mean you don't deal with the situation. It just means you're able to maintain a vital and balanced mental, physical, psychical energy as you go through that process. And if you're able to do that, then all life experiences provide for you an opportunity to grow and develop. And therefore, even that which seems to be an obstacle or that which seems to be very difficult, if you are able to maintain your peace in that situation and you're able to access the divine knowledge and the divine power that helps you to be successful. So that being the case, then that situation of challenge or difficulty or adversity really wouldn't be against you. That would be a situation that is an opportunity for you, a sincere, real opportunity for you to tap into your divinity. So you would see it's not against you. That situation is not against you. The people in the situation is not against you. Those are all there to help you to be able to realize your divine nature, tap into the divine knowledge and divine power, be successful. And each one of these aspects of our being is a reflection of a particular principle that's embodied in the law. So we have the law speak, that aspect of the law that talks about peace, the aspect of the law that talks about unity where nothing and no one is against you, that aspect of the law where when you have the proper knowledge, you're able to maintain a clarity of reciprocity in the situation, so you're always looking to make it a benefit for everybody so it becomes a win-win situation. You have an aspect of the law whereby you're able to tap into the power of the divine being itself and be able to manage and influence not only your life, but when you properly cultivate your energy, influence the course of any and all events in the world because you're helping to further the presence of God in man and on earth. So that represents four of the first four aspects of the laws, or the first four laws, and then there would be seven more. But it's with that knowledge that we're looking at, again, our thoughts, our words, our actions, and we're reviewing how we've lived on a daily basis, just like we're saying the fall represents the time of the year that you're reviewing and looking at how you've lived during the course of the previous 9 months and preparing yourself as you come back to the winter solstice to sow those seeds that you need to work on. You should do the same thing on a daily basis as you look at how you've lived during the past, you know, the waking hours, whether you were awake for 15, 18 hours or whatever, and review that before you go to sleep. And just like we said, the winter solstice represents the time of sleep. You want to do your meditations and take it into your sleep so that can be furthered in terms of impressing that energy into your spirit as you sleep. It's the same thing at night. You do your meditations where you reflect on how you lived in harmony with the law. And for those situations where you fell short or you violated, then you're pledging that you're going to do correct action and do better the next day as you visualize yourself functioning correctly in that scenario before you go to sleep, and then take it into your sleep and be energized by that.
So when it comes to the fall equinox, then since it's a lot of reflecting and, you know, maybe journaling, writing down, you know, the things that you did do correctly and the things that you needed to work on, the things that you need to prepare for going into the winter solstice, is there much, and I'll just use the word to quote, preparation, end quote, involved in, say, preparing for the fall solstice? Or if knowing in advance what the fall solstice is, and if you're doing the declarations daily, you know, going back and within the last 24 hours and monitoring what you did and how you did, how well you did, what you needed to work on. If you're doing that on a daily basis, it appears to me, please correct me if I'm wrong, that there wouldn't be a lot of necessarily, quote, preparation, end quote, to do the solstice if you're doing it every day. But if you're not doing this every day, or let's say, for example, somebody's hearing this interview and they are just coming upon the word the fall equinox and just really delving into it and understanding it, and they have not done the daily work in terms of, you know, reviewing their day and how they did, have they been successful or not, would there be something for them to do to actually prepare for that window where they're going to actually be really focusing in on and journaling and writing down their progress and failures?
Okay, so let's be clear, because a couple of times you, I guess mistakenly, you said the fall solstice.
So okay, I'm sorry, fall equinox.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure you weren't making reference to the winter solstice and you're talking about the fall equinox. Yeah, the equinox is not the same degree of receptivity as at the solstice. The solstices represent the extreme. The equinox represents, again, that transition, and you're at a point of balance. So which way am I going to go? I'm going from the hot to the cold, but I'm right there at the equinox. I'm at that period where I'm making that transition to come into the cold. So it's not like it's a specific window you have to catch that's going to have the same degree of impact as with the winter solstice, which is a 4-day period. The equinox is basically a 24-hour period.
Okay.
But the equinox is the time where you're being mindful, and also you're going, you know, within the workshop that we're going to do, that certain supplements and nutrients and diet that you're going to follow, because you're helping to detoxify the system, strengthen the system, prepare yourself for the onset of the cold weather, and willfully helps prevent illness associated with the cold and the winter. So that's what you're doing as you're coming into the equinox, and then mentally, and reviewing how you've lived. Again, without any knowledge of the 11 laws, you're going to look personally at if you had New Year's resolutions, or if there's certain things that you said you were going to do this year. You want to see, well, did I do this? And how did it work out? And within that 3-month period, even if you don't have that awareness, you can definitely identify some changes you may need to make, some things that you saw during the course of the year that just came up. You may weren't mindful of it before. So even as you reference somebody who's doing the work on a daily basis and working to be mindful and working with what we refer to as the Osirian initiation, meaning working to cultivate that Osirian quality within your spirit, you still have to take note daily. Now, that if you're doing that daily, then you're going to see that very well as you come to the fall. But you still want to get a broad view, because, as I mentioned, you may have things that come up, new circumstances and new situations, new opportunities, new challenges that you hadn't planned for or mindful of at the previous winter solstice. So the question comes up, well, how did I handle that, and how am I handling that? So you may see some new things that you need to do. So everyone needs to, you know, really appreciate that time and preparation to go into the winter solstice, and that fall being a time to be more internalized.
You know, I see that, you know, just listening, that journaling is very important in this spiritual work. And I think that, and if you could just talk about journaling for a moment, because it really appears that when you actually sit down with a paper and pen and start writing what it is that you're experiencing, you really start putting on paper, actually getting the thoughts out of your head and actually writing it down, that does something, that it really has a lasting effect on you, and it actually becomes the work. It takes it from being just the mental work to actual physical work, where you are actually journaling. You can honestly sit back and visually see what you wrote at a particular time and see where you were, and actually follow that growth or lack thereof through the seasons, and it's right there in black and white. You know, you don't have to try to remember. I mean, it's right there for you to actually benefit from looking at, putting your eyes on and seeing where you were and then and where you are now, and actually monitor what growth you've taken and what steps you need to take. And it just seems like journaling is a very big part of this spiritual work, and it has a lot of benefit.
Yeah, that's very true. And one principle I want to bring into play with the question that you just asked, as we talked about the different seasons and the different times of the year and the preparation and the work that you're doing, I made reference to the different qualities of energy. And for any energy to express, you have to have a vehicle for it to come forth through. So within our system, within our biological system, especially when you look at it in reference to traditional Chinese medicine, the fall, that cold and dry time of the year, is represented by the energy of the lungs. And I'm bringing that up because you talked about journaling and getting it from out of your mind and getting it into a physical state, a physical expression, and now we're talking about establishing new behaviors. Well, the lung meridian system is the energy that governs your habits. It governs how it is that you program it yourself, and how the structure and the organization that you bring. And again, if you think about a cold and dry time, if you're trying to organize yourself, you got to kind of be still. You got to look at the details. You got to line it up. You got to put it in some type of fixed, organized, structured way. That's what the energy of the lung brings to you, and that's what the energy of the fall brings to you. So if I have all these ideas about what I want to do, what I should do, how I have conducted myself, and this is all in my head. Well, if I start to write down now, I'm starting to give detail to these concepts that I have. And it takes time to sit down and write something down versus just all these thoughts crossing your mind. So that energy of the fall and working with the energy that comes through the lung. And there's different, I mentioned traditional Chinese medicine, so there's certain movements you can do to help you to strengthen that energy of the lung meridian system. And I'm saying that referencing that someone may be too rigid and too fixed. They have to loosen up. Don't be as literal. Don't take things, you know, so straightforward. Relax, adapt, adjust. So someone may need to sedate that lung energy. It may be too strong. Then it may be someone else who just always does everything on the fly. They're not into time. You know, we're just going to, you know, go with the flow, go with the vibe. And they need to bring more structure, more order into their life. So they would have to tonify their lung system, right? So, and I'm saying that as part of journaling, because if you just got all these ideas swimming around or in your head, when you start to write them down, now you're starting to give some form and some structure. Potentially, you're getting to the point of doing that, right? And that allows you to have something tangible that you can review. So, again, as you come to the winter solstice, you've identified what it is that you need to be doing. Now, tying this back into what I said about the lung and also the summer, where I said you have the highest degree of expression, things are going to manifest. But then they start to fall, so you got to let things go, right? Mm-hmm. You got to realize everything happens in a cycle. It gets to a point where if it's the correct thing to do, if it's in harmony with the law, you do it, you enjoy it. You say, thank God for that. But when it comes time to change, you got to let it go. Some people have difficulty letting things go. And when you come to the fall, and that's, again, what the energy represents, it's time, the energy is falling. You no longer have the energy to support its external expression. You got to let it go. So when you have that imbalance in the lung, you have people who have difficulty in terms of letting things go, whether it's relationships, past experiences, desires, indulgences, whatever it is that they tend to enjoy, they may have a difficulty in terms of letting it go, to the degree that people may just become fixed and locked into that past. And that goes back to the cold and dry energy, which allows you to be fixed and locked.
Mm-hmm.
And that extreme energy is grief. And that can be people who have become stuck and they can't get beyond a certain point in their life in terms of certain experiences, which is obstructing their ability to move on to new relationships, make changes, start up new projects, and they will need to work with that lung meridian system, right? So along with the journaling to see why it is that I have the idea but I'm not bringing the manifestation, you also want to work with bringing balance, vitality and balance to the energy, not just from a mental perspective that meditation would help bring, but also from the aspect of managing and manipulating your life force. So there's really meditations and healing sounds you can use to help balance out that lung energy to let things go so that when you come into the winter solstice, you're ready to now put down new seeds and you're not just, you know, thinking about the past or holding on to the past, and then that obstructs your ability to move forward.
You know, as I'm listening to you, I'm just seeing very, very clearly, even more so, that this work is not for the curious. You know, this work isn't just for the curious, the curious seekers of spirituality, that, you know, you kind of have to be sold out, not kind of have to be, but you have to be sold out to become Hosea. You have to be sold out to your divinity. You have to really be sold out to reach a particular goal, a spiritual goal, to undertake this spiritual work of journaling and getting into the different meridian systems and the different organ systems, the lung and the different chi meridians and everything, because if someone is going to do the things that you just mentioned, they're not curious. They have decided that they have a spiritual goal in mind and that their goal is to be better and to do whatever it takes to get better. If you could, just in the context of that, could you even just discuss the need to be sold out to so that you can, in fact, stay on the path once you have embarked upon it, because some people embark upon it and they realize what is required and then say, wow, I didn't know that it was going to take all of this. But if you, in fact, are being inspired to be Osir, if you are being inspired, even through this interview, to reach your divinity and walk in your divinity and realize your divinity, is going to take work, and it's just not for the curious.
Yeah, that's truth with anything. And I just want to make sure I'm clear. When you say sold out, you mean like being fully invested into it, right?
Correct.
Yeah, well, that's for anything. If someone is trying to, not necessarily saying you're trying to master something, even though that should be the goal, but if you're just trying to significantly improve, you got to put forth the time and energy. I mean, you're not going to become well-versed or well-knowledgeable and well-functional in a particular area, whether it's computer science or whether it's sports or dancing, whatever, if you don't put time into the craft. And it's the same thing with spiritual growth and development. But the difference there in what I'm saying, though, spiritual growth and development is the foundation that will allow you to be successful in computer science and dancing and sports or anything else, because everything that you do comes through your spirit. And that's one error that people make, is that they sometimes take the position, well, I'm working on my money now, I'm working on my education, I'm working on my family, I'm working on my business. You know, when I work that out, then I'm really getting to my spiritual work. And that's the wrong perspective. Working on your spiritual work is going to help you to be successful in being able to work on your business, your education, because the spiritual work is not about disassociating yourself with the environment and the people and going off to be by yourself. Spiritual growth and development requires that you be in the midst and at the moment of the challenges and the adversity, because that's the crossroad. That's just like with the equinox. You're making a transition from hot to cold, so you got to bring forth the energy at that moment to make the right choice to be successful. And it takes time, it takes energy, but that's, again, that's the reality of anything in life. But when you really work on cultivating your spirit, you're putting forth the blocks that's going to ensure success in other aspects of your life. But you can become very good in terms of your business and do poorly in your family. You can do well in your family and do poor in economics. You can do well in economics and have poor social skills. But the spirit and those 11 laws are going to address all that, the family, the associations, the economics, the social skills, the business. That's the beauty of, I mean, we all have a spirit. We just haven't been educated properly to realize that's the primary class of life that we have to study, and then everything else becomes an extension of that.
Everybody, I hope you're enjoying this interview as much as I am. My special guest is Hekshemsu Heru Shekemeyam Neter. I want to talk about the workshop that's going to be held tomorrow at the Osir Set, given by the Osir Set Society in Washington, D.C. There's a free workshop, and it's titled The Fall Detoxification and Autumn Equinox, and that's on Saturday, which is tomorrow, September the 12th. That's from 4 o'clock to 5:30 p.m., and that's going to be at 6224 3rd Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. And for more information, you can call 202-723-5566. Again, for more information, that's 202-723-5566. Further, could we talk about the workshop tomorrow for those who can't make it and for those who are on the fence, you know, those who are saying, you know, I'm not sure if I want to go, but I'm listening to this show and I really want to make it. What's going to be covered tomorrow at the workshop? I'm sure some of what we discussed today will be, but any other things that listeners need to be aware of?
Yeah, the principle of the equinox, we'll be reiterating that tomorrow, but we're going to definitely get more into detail in terms of the practice you want to do for the detoxification, really the practices that you want to do for the detoxification and the cleansing, and also why you would do that in preparation for the continuation of the cycle and bringing us directly to the winter solstice. So we're going to be talking about a specific diet that we would be following. We're going to talk about specific herbs that we'd be taking. We're going to talk about specific salad that we'll be eating and juices that we'll be doing to help us in that cleansing process, strengthening certain organ systems. I made reference to the lung. We'll be talking about some of the lung exercises. So there's going to be much more detail that I invite everybody to come out and benefit from. And it's free.
Can't beat that. I mean, it's one of those can't-lose situations. Just get there, and you're going to benefit. And on site, they have a vegan food restaurant called the Sinbeb Cafe, so you can get your vegan food on. I mean, they've got organic produce and vegetables at the Sinbeb Natural Foods, and that's on site as well, correct, brother?
Yes, sir.
And okay, they've got
24 3rd Street.
Yes, sir. That's, they've also got clothing, books, and more, okay, at the Sistrum Boutique. That's right there. So, again, you definitely want to get over. If you never experienced vegetarian food or vegan, shall I say, food, definitely get by there tomorrow and check that out. Again, that would be a great introduction if you've been, you know, listening to these shows and other shows and actually considered a vegan lifestyle. Get by the Sinbeb Cafe and check out their menu, because, again, that would be a great place to start. And it's going to be an awesome interview. I'm sorry, not awesome interview, but an awesome workshop tomorrow, I'm sure. And if you like what you're hearing today, and I know that you do, then you definitely want to make it over there tomorrow. Again, that's starting at 4:30 to 5. I'm sorry, I take that back. Not 4:30. It's from 4 to 5:30 p.m. That's tomorrow, Saturday, September the 12th. And that's at 6224 3rd Street Northwest. And if you'd like more information, the phone number there is 202-723-5566. Brother, this information is so powerful. And I can only imagine that after the work that is put into it, that you're going to expect to see a blessing, even like when you talked about before on other shows, just when you're going into meditation and you're talking about even behavior modification. One of the things, I think the fourth thing is that you can expect a blessing. Well, even if you could just talk about expecting a blessing in the context of if you do this work, you can expect a blessing, because like you mentioned, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So, I mean, each person that's hearing this interview right now, you are worth the investment in your time, in your energy, and in some cases your money to grow. Could you talk about just how you can expect to see a blessing as a result of the work that you put into it?
Well, again, the goal of all the work that we do is to help us to realize our divine nature, which means to tap into that knowledge and that power, which is going to help us to be successful in all our endeavors in life. Now, the key to that is that we're not here to just personally achieve what it is we would like to do. We're here to live in harmony with the law so that we're able to reflect a divine way of life, follow divine order. As we do that and tap into the knowledge and power that exceeds what we could personally ever bring forth on our own, then that allows us the means whereby we're able to help and assist others, beginning with ourselves, our family, as our mate, our children, our community, and even just by my ability to have applied what I'm saying, have had success with it, to be able to be on your show by your invitation. Thank you. And to share that with others. That's a blessing that I've received and able to share with others. So if you know, you find benefit, it's your responsibility to share, to serve. But you want to really have that balance in your life where you don't want to just be successful in one area and then falling off in others, because that's not a successful life. So the blessing of spiritual science and spiritual practices is that it's going to help you to be energized in what you do, but maintain a balance so that you're not causing disorder in other aspects of your life. So addressing, as I referenced before, your family life, your social life, your educational life, your business life, your economic life, whatever it may be, all these various practices that we do, the exercises, the classes that we offer, are there to help in all those areas and not just one thing. It's not just about making money and then not knowing how to properly manage it or causing yourself to have problems by it and then losing your family and turning to, you know, drugs and other things because of the difficulty that you're experiencing. This is about learning how to generate what you need, if it's money, how to properly manage it and share it with others so that we can all benefit. So it uplifts everybody. And I just want to say this before we run out of time. Not only am I going to be doing a class tomorrow at D.C., and I didn't tell you this, but I'm also going to be doing it on the 19th, that's Saturday, the 19th in Richmond at the Family Life Center.
Okay. Okay. That's the same workshop, the Fall Equinox.
Fall Equinox, right. It's going to be in Richmond at the Family Life Center. It's 3601 Dill Road in Richmond. So for the folks
awesome.
Who are close in that area, they could also benefit. And it will also be free.
You know, brother, I wish we had another hour. This information, again, is so, so powerful. And, you know, I can see why now even the celebrations that surround a lot of the solstices, the equinoxes, you know, people actually celebrate the coming of certain seasonal changes. And when you understand the underlying principles as to why and how these seasonal changes help us if we actually do the work necessary at these particular times, I can see the need for ritual and celebration concerning that, because there's a lot more to it than what meets the eye in a lot of cases. People, again, when they think of winter turning to spring and so forth, summer turning to fall, they're just looking at it, okay, whew, okay, summer's over, it's getting ready to cool off a little bit, and have no idea, you know, of the spiritual factors that are taking place. And so just even when it in terms of ritual, if you could briefly just talk about that and why ritual is important even on this spiritual path, because I can see the need to celebrate these changing of the seasons. And just even after this interview today, I'm not going to look at the seasonal changes the same.
Well, ritual becomes important in that when you're talking about a ritual, you're really talking about a pattern of behavior to instill, or a pattern of action or habit to instill a certain type of behavior. So we do a detox or a particular diet and meditations with the change of every season, every year. So as we do that, as you say, celebrate, it's not just celebrating from appreciation and feeling good about it, but it's celebrating in the context of doing what you have to do to live in harmony with the laws of nature, to make the changes that you need to make to be in harmony and balance with the energy. That's the celebration, is the success that comes by harmonizing and balancing yourself with the energy. So the ritual comes in the context of making that your way of life, so that every year with the change of season, I'm going to make sure I'm working on adjusting my diet and maybe taking certain herbs to help strengthen that organ system that's coming into play at that time, and then regulate my living and my habits and my activities to be in harmony with the energy that is prevalent at that time. So I would say this fall, if you're talking about really studying and putting in place a program to become more reflective and do some internal work, this is the time to really start doing that. If you're looking to do better next year, the fall is the time to start by looking at, as I referenced before, how you've lived, to take note of the changes you need to make so that when you come to the winter solstice, and that's the time when you really do that meditation / ritual to impress your spirit with a certain mode of action to make a change in behavior, that's the time you've got to fully take advantage of. So the ritual is structuring your life to always live in harmony with the cycles and then to undertake the activities that's going to support doing that. And when you do that, that's when you find those changes to occur in your thinking, your words and your actions. That's when your blessings come, that's when your success comes, and that's when you're really able to improve yourself in terms of health, economics, your family, and be of service to others.
Brother, this show has been awesome. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to be my guest today. I knew it was going to be powerful. It always is, and I just want to encourage the listeners, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you definitely want to make it to the free Fall Detoxification and Autumn Equinox Workshop. That's tomorrow, Saturday, September the 12th. That's from 4 o'clock p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's going to be at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. And for more information, please call 202 202- 202-723-5566. Again, that's 202-723-5566. And on the 19th, that's a Saturday, okay, in of this month, of September the 19th, Saturday, Hexim Suharu Shekhamam Nateh is going to be in Richmond, and he's going to be doing the same workshop, the Fall Detoxification and Autumn Equinox Workshop. That's going to be Saturday, September the 19th, and that's going to be at 3601 Dill Road in Richmond, Virginia. That's the Family Life Center. What time is that going to be, Shekhan?
That's going to be 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay, that's going to be 6 to 8 p.m. Okay, so you definitely want to make it to that if you're in the Richmond area. Brother, again, I want to thank you for all of the work that you've done, continue to do, as you continue to share this information and teach us. Any parting words for our listeners tonight?
Well, just will that everybody takes the opportunity to take this fall time to really reflect and see the value of the winter solstice, and, you know, work to take time off from work at that time, or if you can't, at least plan that you're going to take time to meditate during the winter solstice to really sow your spirit with the seeds that you will to manifest in the coming year. And thank you very much for inviting me on.
Brother, it's always a pleasure, and I say to the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and I have a question to leave you with, and that is, listeners, are you ready to be divine? Do you want to be divine? Are you ready to do the work that is necessary to be divine? Well, part of that work is participating in the fall equinox, okay? You're going to have to journal. You're going to have to reflect. You're going to have to look at, back at the not just the last 24 hours, but the last 9 months, and determine have you been successful in what you have endeavored to do, and prepare to learn techniques on how you can become more successful if you have been successful. If you've been not successful at all, how you can start that process. And again, you can start tomorrow. Well, actually, you started today by tuning into this show. Now you can continue that process. If you are in the Washington area, make it to the free workshop. That's the Fall Detoxification and Autumn Equinox Workshop. That's tomorrow, Saturday, September the 12th, from 4 to 5:30 p.m. And that's at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. And for more information, call 202-723-5566. And on September the 19th in Richmond, Virginia, you want to make it to 3601 Dill, that's D like David, I-L-L Road in Richmond, Virginia, for the same workshop. And that's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Brother, again, it's been a pleasure, and I thank you so much for your time. To all of the listeners, I say tu'au, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you. By the way, we have an archive, so if you know that somebody that should have heard this show did not hear it, within a half hour after this show physically ends, the archives, it will be uploaded into the archives, and you can actually share the link. If you have the link, if you're listening, you got the link, please share the link. Also, I want you to know that you can leave comments. If you're listening, you can actually leave comments. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to know what you're thinking about the shows, okay? And, you know, give me some feedback, all right? So that way I can know who you like and who you want to hear more of, and, you know, that would be very, very helpful. Brother Hexim Suharu, again, brother, I don't want to keep you any longer than I have already. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor, and I thank you so much for your time, sir. Can't wait to see you on the 19th.
Okay. Wow, thank you, Brother Juwan.
All right, take care. Everybody, that was Hexim Suharu Shekhamayab Nateh. And again, make it to the workshop. I'm going to say the number to you, know it by heart. That's 202-723-5566. That's 202-723-5566. For more information, the workshop in D.C. is tomorrow. That is Saturday, September the 12th. From 4 to 5:30 p.m., and that's at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest. If you were sitting on the fence and you didn't know if you were going or not, I bet you're going now. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for your time. Peace and blessings.